But he went on, it's not something that you can demonstrate with batteries. And I guess that was Michael's problem. So are the Stanbury police, who say the voltage that Markham had diverted into the contraption caused power interruptions in and around the northwest Missouri town of about 1300. Markham had connected the metal rods to the terminals of a transformer, one of six stolen from a utility company, in hopes of creating a large spark gap with ascending electrical arcs. Markham was arrested January 29th on a felony charge of stealing the transformers from a St. Joseph light and power generating station in King City. He pleaded guilty last month, was placed on 5 years probation. Police said the transformers had a capacity of 12 to 76,000 volts each, enough to easily cause electrocution or an explosion. Markham, who told police that he has 2 years of college-level electrical engineering, said he was building a time machine, but didn't have enough power for it. That's according to the Stanbury Police Chief, Tom Hampton. Hampton said, quote, he's not nuts. He appears to be an intelligent person with a lack of common sense. Maybe. Hampton said Markham told officers he had not tried to enter the spark gap, and neither had anyone else. If anyone had, they probably would have been electrocuted, not transported in time. Presumably, he decided that if he got enough electricity together, he could build a time machine, because there is the concept that if you're going to do it, it's going to require an enormous amount of energy. So there it was, and you know me and these kinds of stories and how I'm fascinated by time. So I set out to find young Mr. Markham, and I found him. I found him. It wasn't easy. I went through a couple of our affiliates, and then I just started going to phone directories and rooting about, and lo and behold, there was a new number, and it was Michael's, and I've got Michael here. And so I thought I would ask him, and I did a little earlier today, and we're going to go through it right now and find out exactly what it is Michael was trying to do. We'll get back to him in just a moment. Michael, are you there?
Yeah.
Good. First of all, had you heard that story before? The one I just read?
Yeah.
You've heard that, huh?
Yeah. It's like I'm collecting clippings on it now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
How old are you, Michael?
21.
21. Pretty young.
Yeah, very.
Now, let's go kind of back through the story like you and I did earlier today. This all began, well, why did it, but what, that's a good question. I didn't even ask that. Why did this begin in the first place? What were you trying to do in the first place?
Originally, I just set out to make a fancy Jacob's ladder, and this was like what I got, what it turned out to be.
A lot of people don't know what a Jacob's ladder is. Tell them what it is.
Simply, in a nutshell, it's like two metal rods with a spark going up in between it. And once it reaches the top, it starts back to the bottom again.
So, that kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like from a Frankenstein movie.
Yeah. That's where they got started at.
Okay, well, there are ways to do that. The Van de Graaff generator, for example. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
But you were going to do it with... actually, how were you going to do it? So, you told me something about winding your own transformer?
That's what I originally did, and real touchy, and what I did was I used a laser, a modified CD laser for it.
Well, so, let's stay with the transformer for a moment.
Yeah.
How did you wind this transformer? How did you do that?
Oh, well, it's pretty simple, really, but, I just take took these metal plates and glued them together.
Glued them together, yeah.
Yeah, and in the simplest transformers, there's two coils, your primary and your secondary.
Right.
and it's
is it like making a giant ball of string or something? In other words, you just keep winding and winding and winding it around.
There's like technical things, simply put, it's like your primary coil will have like maybe 400 turns, or it depends on how many watts you want to make it to.
Right.
Let's say it's 400 turns in your primary, and there's 4,000 turns in your secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 times the turns, then you'll get 10 times the voltage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you is that about what you did? 400 and 4,000?
Well, the small transformer had to change to 100. I don't know how many turns. I lost count. I never bothered to count the second. I put about 450 turns in the primary.
So you just kept winding.
Yeah, until I got roughly 20,000 volts.
20,000 volts?
Yeah.
So you went from 110 to 20,000?
Yeah, roughly.
Roughly. All right. Without, I take it, very much current.
Well, actually, quite a bit. About roughly, it was drawing about 3,000 watts. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was. Let's see. It was probably about tenth of an amp.
Tenth of an amp.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's considered a mount when it's 20,000 volts behind it.
Oh yeah, that'd knock you right on your butt.
Oh, yeah.
So then you did this, you built this thing, and you had the arc, and you were able to achieve the arc, is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, so here you have this beautiful arc going, and, or was it not quite going the way you wanted it to?
Well, it was like a little bit touchy, it was like kind of touchy, because it's like the bar at the bottom of the metal rods.
Right.
Where the spark starts, if they're too close together, the spark will stick. But if they're too far apart, it won't arc at all. So it was like real touchy. If I moved a fraction of a millimeter, the thing stuck, and if I moved it too far apart, it didn't do anything. So what I set out to do was use the heat from a laser to
get it started or something?
Yeah, like get it going by itself.
I see. The heat from a laser. That's interesting. So it would the heat from a laser would attract the spark, sort of?
Well, in a way, the heat from the laser lowers the resistance of the air is what it does.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you got this laser by, how'd you get the laser?
I practically made it from scratch. I took a CD laser and redid all the electronics in it, kind of like reinforcing it, you'd say.
A CD laser. So you tore apart a CD player.
Yeah.
and so then you got the laser. Did it do what you wanted it to do, you know, start the spark?
It had some other effects I didn't expect.
Well, and therein lies the story. Other effects you didn't expect, like what?
Well, it's like that spark's pretty hot, so you're going to have like a heat signature like right above it. But,
you mean kind of like a hazy glow or something?
Well, kind of like wavy. If you take a lighter and like look right above it, you'll see the heat from it.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, it's like real faint. But I was expecting. I know that it was going to be like probably an extra like a bigger heat signature from the laser. But this one was like. Strange, like it's almost right above it. It was like the regular heat signature, but it was like almost circular shape in the center.
Sort of like a glow.
Not really a glow. It's like if you don't really look at it, you can't see it.
Is it like Well, you know when you're out in the desert in the middle of summer and you see the shimmering coming off a road? Is it like that?
Yeah, but it's like, and normally those are just wavy lines straight up and down, kind of.
Right.
But this one, I had the straight up and down ones, but they were like, kind of like, circular, it's like kind of like circular shaped in the center.
Huh.
And that was like, I didn't know what the, at first I didn't know what it was. I'm not 100% certain now. That's what I'm working on now, trying to.
Wait a minute. You're back at this again?
Huh?
You're back at this again, are you?
Yeah, I'm just like picking up where I left off, but this time I'm like not now, doing anything illegal.
Now, when I, we'll get to that. When I called you earlier today, you said, gee, it's well you caught me or something. I just got out of jail.
I got out of jail March 30th.
March 30th. Well, that's pretty much just out of jail.
Yeah.
And you're able to do this program tonight because you are more or less not employed.
Yeah, I got all kinds of free time right now.
were you employed, Michael, at back when you got in trouble?
When I was arrested, yeah, I was.
So did this.
In fact, I was like supposed to go to work the next day.
So in other words,
I got arrested.
So in other words, this cost you your job.
In a way, because there's like other things branching off this, but my boss thought I contaminated his plant with PCBs. But that's another story.
What? I guess from the transformers, huh?
Yeah, because one of the transformers that.
Well, wait a minute. We're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back. We're with your first small contraption. That's all I can think of to call it. And you told me something about throwing a bolt or a screw or something.
Yeah, a sheet metal screw. See, I didn't know what this thing was, and it was like, I don't know, I just got the notion to throw a screw in it to see like what it did. Because I never saw anything like that before.
Kind
of like testing it.
A screw, I guess, would be as good as anything else.
Yeah.
Mine might do that, too. All right, so you threw a screw into the
circular thing.
Circular area.
Yeah, it's like I've talked to a couple of physicists. They call it a vortex, but.
All right, you threw it into what we'll call the vortex.
Yeah.
All right, what happened to the screw?
Well, I had this thing sitting on a table, right?
Yeah.
And I threw it in there, and I didn't see it after that.
It disappeared?
Yeah, roughly. I like did it three times. I could. It's like. My laser burn up, so I knew it'd do that. I just didn't think it'd do it so quick. But,
So it probably provided such a high SWR, it's called, standing wave ratio to the laser that it burned it up?
Yeah, because I knew it. It's like it's like pushing that farther than it was designed for is what it was.
Mm-hmm. But you're telling me this thing disappeared.
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. It did one or two things. It went half a second into the future, and then I caught up with it, or I made like a real intense magnetic field. And that's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
All right, this is fascinating, Michael. It really is, because there are aspects of what you have done that are very much like I've interviewed the people who did the Philadelphia experiment, Michael.
Yeah, that's what the Montauk Project is. Like,
yeah, and you're messing with the same sort of stuff. You're messing with the same sort of stuff. Oh, well, anyway, all right, so continue with the story. You got this, it disappeared, you blew up your laser, and then you sat there thinking, wow, I did something different here.
Yeah, it's like it freaked me out. It's like at first I thought I was seeing things, but...
So what did you do, go away and think about it for a day or two or a week? Or when did you finally get this brilliant light bulb of an idea to build a larger unit?
Well, half a second is not very much. But I figure if I make a bigger one, it'd send it farther. That way I could really like tell if it's like really like if I was like sending it through time or if I was just sending it through an intense magnetic field.
Well, right. So, but what I mean is, how long did you think about whether you wanted to build a... Did it occur to you right away when you blew up your little one, I'm going to build a bigger one?
I was like, after that thing burned out, after all the smoke cleared...
Smoke?
Yeah.
In other words, there was sort of a reaction to the screw.
Well, no, where the laser... When I say the laser burn up, it literally caught fire, the electronics.
Caught fire?
Yeah.
That's bad. Well,
yeah.
All right, so your equipment was smoldering.
Yeah. And it's like I was thinking about just like rebuilding the laser, because the basic part of the laser's fine, but the part of the electronics, like, they were like totally ruined. And I was thinking,
just rebuild the electronics and try it again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about doing, but I figured basically, I almost have to start from scratch except building the transformer.
Mm-hmm.
But so I figured I'd make just a bigger version of what I did.
So, wanting a big transformer, you needed a lot of voltage to do this, right?
Yeah. 2,000 volts of arc, but it's like 2,000 volts, that's like very touchy.
And 10,000 or 20,000 volts really arcs.
Yeah. Well, it's the wattage to make it arc. A welder will arc, and it's only like 10 volts because there's so much amperage behind it. But
that's right. Mm-hmm.
But you have to like get it real close. It's like and it's at 2,000 volts. It has to be within like half the bottom. The space between the rods at the bottom has to be like half a millimeter apart for an arc.
How far apart were your two rods on the first small machine you built?
About 2 inches.
2 inches. Oh, that's pretty good space.
Yeah.
So then it dawns on you, let's build a big one.
Yeah.
So now, I didn't ask you about this earlier, but in order to get enough voltage and current, you needed a big transformer. Now,
yeah.
It's true the power company has big transformers.
Yeah.
Really nice ones.
Yeah.
And how did it dawn on you to, what's the word we should use, borrow one of the, or several of the power company's transformers?
How did I get the idea for it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you knew you needed a transformer. How did it occur to you?
Well, originally what I was going to do is I was originally going to buy them. Like, there's like a transformer company in Kansas City that makes them for the power company. And
well, there was an idea.
Yeah, but it's like I could have like saved my money and bought those, but those are expensive.
How much is a transformer? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I'll give you an idea. When I buy them from the factory, I buy them at wholesale. But the St. Joseph Light and Power, the power company I stole them from, they valued the six transformers I took. They valued them at $13,600-some.
Oh my! So that's not shoplifting. All right, Michael, hold on a moment. We've got a little business to do here, and we'll get right back to you. Well, actually, it would have been a combination of electrical and a magnetic field, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, plans got big. You decided you wanted to build a great big one. So according to the story, you had two big poles on your porch. Is that correct?
Yeah, 3/8 inch metal rods.
Really? How big?
You mean how long?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Roughly 4 feet.
Oh, that would have made a big spark.
Yeah.
Big spark. And so you had the rods, and you needed the transformers desperately.
Yeah.
You probably could have saved up for it, but you didn't. You made a mistake.
Yeah.
And you
in a hurry.
So what did you do? Did you sneak into their yard?
Oh, you mean the...
In other words, how'd you get the transformers? You didn't heist them off a pole, of course.
Oh, heck no.
Uh-huh. So
they were noticed immediately. They were gone then. But these were just sitting by a substation in King City.
Just sitting there.
They were just sitting. Yeah, they've been sitting there for ever since I moved to Missouri. So
you hated to see them languishing without use.
Yeah. Well, they were just sitting there rusting. And heck, they don't even use them. Heck, in fact, right now they just got them put away for safekeeping. They say so.
Probably historical record.
Yeah, now.
So anyway, what did you do? Take a pickup truck? Those things are heavy, aren't they?
The biggest one I had weighed 350 pounds.
Ooh, well then you must have had an accomplice.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Couple of them?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to them. Their court date was the same as mine, and they didn't look too happy with me. So.
I'm sure they weren't.
No.
So anyway, somehow you talked them into helping you out in this venture.
Yeah.
And you snuck down there, no doubt, late at night.
Well, it was right in broad daylight.
Broad daylight?
Yeah, roughly 11 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And so in broad daylight, you took the transformers, loaded them up in a pickup truck, I guess?
Yeah.
And hauled them to your house?
Yep.
I see. And you had how many of them?
Six.
Why six, Michael?
Well,
I mean, why did you feel you needed six?
Well, originally I was just going to take a couple of them, but it's like a...
You got carried away.
Yeah, pretty much.
I see. All right, so you got the transformers to your house, and then you, I guess, hooked up the secondary. No, it would have been the primary of the transformer to the poles, correct?
Yeah, basically, I just hooked it backwards.
Yeah, that's right, backwards. So the primary was hooked to the poles. The secondary, you hooked up to the power coming into your home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened when you did that, by the way?
Well, I didn't get to the big version of it. I didn't get the laser part yet. I was going to order that from New Jersey.
Had you produced a large spark with it?
That's another thing too. Before I was like arrested on the 30th, and on February 3rd, I was going to pick up like 60 feet worth of cable so I can reinforce the cable to my house. So.
You mean actually coming in from the pole?
Yeah.
What were you going to do? Climb the pole?
Pretty much.
Oh, Michael.
Because I figured if I called the power company and had them reinforce the cable to my house, I'd like draw suspicion. So.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure it would. Yes, it would. They would want to know why.
Yeah, why I'd need a cable that carries 2,000 amps instead of the usual 200.
Now, so you did, though. You nevertheless hooked it up and you turned it on, didn't you?
Yeah, I hooked up the smallest one that I could hook up without, like, overloading the cable and causing a fire.
Yeah? What happened?
Well, it's pretty... Just that in itself is just like a giant Jacob's ladder. Like a...
How far apart were you able to get these poles and still produce the spark?
About 18 inches.
18 inches.
Yeah, it was the smallest one I had. It was changed 240 to 12,470.
12,470. So when you did this, according to the newspaper, you blacked out or browned out portions of your whole town, is that correct?
Yeah, I was like overloading the power grid because I was drawing more power than I thought it was.
Well, what got you caught? Was that what got you caught?
In a nutshell, a friend of mine was at my house. Well,
somebody squealed on you.
I don't know what happened, but exactly, and I'll probably never know. That's in the past. I ain't really worried about that now. But what happened was a friend of mine, like from my house, shot a BB gun, like shot out my next door neighbor's sliding glass door window.
Oh.
Yeah, and I like got the cops snooping around. So.
And they just happened to see this incredible rig on your porch.
No, they came. It's that happened at roughly. I can't remember. This was. I guess it was back in the end of January. That happened around noon or 1 o'clock or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they came by with a search warrant at 11 o'clock at night. So
obviously they had seen it then, and they decided.
They'd never been in the house.
Right, but they didn't have to be to see the porch, did they?
Well, it was like the porch was closed in, and all the windows were boarded up.
Oh, I see.
Stuff like that, like try to keep out of sight.
Could it be? I guess, Michael, when you started a big gap, an 18-inch gap like that, it would have created an intense white light.
It was a 5,000-watt spark, so it was.
But it would have been very intense, and
it's like you.
Maybe from your neighbor's perspective, Michael, they would hear this. And their lights would dim, and they'd look over at they'd look over at your porch, and they'd see this white light streaming out from all the little cracks and places, and they'd get worried. Could that be?
That's a possibility. But
all right, all right. So
no, the main thing they were like, see, it's like a, there was like a, that's the reason I kind of, that's one of the reasons I moved from Stanbury, because half that town wants my head on a pole. I have the feeling.
You mean they don't like you now?
Well, it's like a, I don't know if this is like, I don't know if this is just another unfounded rumor or not, but like a lot of those people's television sets are ruined and stuff like that, because I was like drawing so much power, and it was like normally it's between 110 and 120 volt outlet, and well, it's like they were estimating, this is just what I've heard, I don't know if it's a fact or not, but they were estimating I was like bringing it down to like 80 volts, 80, 90 volts.
That is damaging to electronic gear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in the town with appliances that now are doorstops are probably not happy with you.
Yeah, pretty much. Most of them is just like lights would flicker and like dim real bad and stuff like that. But evidently, it's people that were just having to be watching TV when I operated it. See, I operated that thing at night too. So
yes.
That way, not a lot, a whole lot of people are like. I had see at first when I hooked this thing up, I thought it was a 5,000 watt spark. I figured it'd be well. See these transformers ain't as efficient as I first thought they would be.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, so, it was like drawing a heck of a lot more than I thought. A
lot more current.
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't going to walk into the middle of that spark gap, were you?
No. I was like if well, like made the big version if it did the same thing. I was like going like do like throw something else for it, like not something that's like
something a little bigger than a screw to disappear maybe.
Yeah, like maybe an orange or something like that, and if it came out like in one piece without getting fried or crisp, then
you would have walked in.
Well, there's other things too. It's like the Philadelphia experiment. People were like. From what I've heard, people were
buried in the deck.
Yeah, embedded in walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you can't tell where you're coming back out.
Yeah, because you lose your time lock. But
would you have eventually done it if the orange came out okay, and then maybe you tossed a cat in or something? the cat came out.
I was going to say that, but I figured. Well,
You were going to toss a cat in.
Well, if everything else came out all right, like. Totally unscathed.
Then the cat would have gone in.
I'd probably try something that was alive and small, like a grasshopper or something like that.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Before the cat.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, hold on. We'll be right back to you. We're going to find out what he's experimenting with right now, and I may take a couple calls here. Michael, are you there?
Yeah.
Good. Michael, now you're a free man again, out of the pokey, and ready to begin experiments, I've just learned, all over again. You're going to do this again, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Well, you don't give up easily, I'll say that for you.
Nope.
By the way, what did everybody think of you when you were in jail? I assume you told them this story.
Until the media started taking it seriously, everybody thought I was a nutcase.
Mm-hmm. You sound sane to me.
Yeah, pretty much.
A little on the wild side, but sane. Anyway, so what are you going to do now? How are you going to rebuild it, in other words?
Right now I'm just basically saving my money and do what I originally set out to do, buy them.
You can buy the transformers?
Yep.
What would be the legality of your using them if you bought them? Would that be perfectly legal?
Should be. I mean, as long as I might get into EPA violations by like take them apart and like get oil all over the place and stuff like that. But as long as I don't do anything like that.
You mentioned you lost your job. How did your employer think you polluted his workplace with PCPs? I mean. You had not taken these apart, right?
Well, one of them I couldn't use, and I didn't really want to, like, take it back there and, like, get caught taking it back, so
Makes sense.
Figured I might as well strip the copper out of it and sell the copper.
So you took it apart?
Yeah, and while I was originally, I didn't really just dump it on the porch. I was kind of like an accident, but I was like taking the oil and putting it in a plastic waste basket. Well, it's like this was like a 3,000 watt transformer. That's pretty small for a pole, like utility pole. Mm-hmm. But it weighed like 150 pounds, and I was like the only one doing it, and my finger slipped, and I ended up dropping it and dumping like 10 gallons of oil all over the back porch.
Oops.
Yeah. And anyway, ended up getting it all over me, too, because it splattered. And evidently, got all the back porch. Well, anyhow, the shoes that I was wearing at the time also were the shoes I wear to work. And he thought I tracked PCBs where he used to work. He thought I tracked them into his plant, tracked PCBs in his plant.
I see. So that was the end of your job.
He didn't really say that, but I have that feeling. Because he, like, asked me who and all was in my house, who and all was around those transformers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Has the EPA knocked on your door yet, Michael?
No, it turns out the transformer I took apart, I tried telling them that, but they wouldn't take my word for it. The transformer I took apart is, like, too old. It was darn old. It was four PCBs were around. It turned out just to be plain old crude oil.
Oh, I'm sure you were personally relieved a little about that.
Well, it's like I was almost certain that was all it was, because I'll put it this way. The last time that the transformer was even checked was 1924, so...
I see. Well, so you're going to try this again. You're going to save up money, buy the stuff, and try it again. Are you going to do it on the big scale the way you did last time?
Yeah, pretty much. It'll just... right now,
going to be on your back porch?
I'm living in an apartment right now, and I'm on the third floor, too, so I'll probably move before I do that. Like,
That might be good.
Yeah.
That might be good. That might not go well in an apartment.
Yeah, plus the power that's going to my apartment is only 10,000 watts, so if I draw more than that, I'll overload the transformer and blow it.
Just a theoretical question for you. Let's say that you produced a time machine, Michael, and you actually managed to go either forward or reverse in time. What would you use it for?
The time machine?
Uh-huh.
Heck, there's possibilities. They're endless, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess they are. I guess I'm asking, Michael, would you use it to make money?
That'd be one of the things I'd do. It wouldn't be the only thing I'd do. I mean, give an example. Right now there's like an AIDS plague, kind of like a 20th century Black Death. But
that's right.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know exactly when they're going to have like a vaccine for AIDS or anything like that. But
you might try to bring one back.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Michael, let
Same
me...
Same thing with cancer and stuff like that.
Well, it's true. It is true. Let me bring a caller on and see... every line is lit up here, and I'm curious what the audience has to say about this. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Markham.
Yes, hi. This is Maureen from Redding, California.
Yes.
Hi. Unless I'm misunderstanding your guest there and yourself... I am just really blown away by exactly what you have been talking about, because I've always been real impressed with you, Art, as far as I've always thought you as to be a person of high intelligence, what have you. Your guest you've had on your show in the past, I've always been impressed with that. But this has got to be the lamest thing I've ever heard in my life.
You don't believe it?
Well, it's basically... Let's teach somebody how to make an atomic bomb, what have you.
What do you think about that, Michael? How do you feel about that? Would you build an atomic bomb if you could?
Build an atomic bomb. No, I doubt it.
No, see, he wouldn't go for an atomic bomb, ma'am. He's talking about time travel. Now, what's so bad about that?
Well,
Do you think it's dangerous or what?
No, well, I think it's just very dangerous as far as I'm sure some of the listeners that you have.
Okay. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will help, ma'am. Listen, everybody, do not try this at home.
Well, see, basically, you're going step by step by step.
That's right. We absolutely are. That's right.
Why are you doing that?
Well, why do you think? Well, are you worried that somebody's going to do this at home and fry themselves?
Of course. There's idiots out there in the world.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but ma'am, there are people. I could interview somebody who walked off a cliff. Do you think that would mean that my listeners would walk off a cliff?
I really doubt you would have a guest on there who would try to walk off a cliff. I have always looked at you.
But what I'm saying is,
my interview has always been a person. I really admire you, Art Bell.
Now you're disappointed.
And I enjoy your show, and you're a very intelligent human being. I am totally blown away that you would have somebody such as the guest you have on tonight.
Why?
And I'm sorry if I'm...
Well, the question is why?
Because of
the
subject that you are discussing, you know.
Yes.
Basically, there are adults out there in this world who have a childlike mind who will be ignorant enough to try this kind of thing at home.
Okay. All right. Thank you.